Close wet a little bit in the Maseches Pesachim. We got to get a lick of the sugi yesterday and this morning. Rabbi Baruch Shem, a beautiful morning seder. Yasher Koach to every single one of you. Esther Sheyeshno Po, Esther Enenu Po. Both the guys were at the Sristi learning live in the Beis Medrash, and the guys who were in the Beis Medrash virtually via Zoom with their Chavrusashavts. So now we're ready to begin to look carefully at this Mishnah. So let's start from the beginning. As we mentioned yesterday in opening the Masechta, you saw just now that that there are a host of Dinim Doraisa of Pesach, and specifically a host of Dinim Doraisa of Achametz. And so it's intriguing that Rehu HaNasi chose to nevertheless begin from a Durabanan outpost. This is not Maseches Megillah, where the Dina and Mikra Megillah are all drabana. There's a wealth of Daraisas, yet the Mishnah begins, Arla Ba'asa Bokas Chametz La'ana. The Din of Bedikas Chametz, at the evening of the 14th, we're both day, we searched the house for Chametz La'ana, by candlelight, where in the house, Kalmakim She'im Achnisim Bo Chametz, Ein Sarech Bedika. Any place in the house where we don't typically bring Chametz, does not require bedikah, which is a backhanded way of saying that there is a chiyuv bedikah in those parts of the house where you would, at least on occasion, bring chametz. The Mishnah goes on to give some details what that would look like in a wine cellar. We spoke yesterday in passing about the chocolate chip cookie equivalents. You have a garage. If there is a freezer with chocolate chip cookies, there isn't. Okay, you have to make a cheshbon in terms of the details. Again, as mentioned yesterday, there's a part of why we're opening with Bedikas Chametz is certainly because of the chronological axis that runs throughout the entire Masechta. Bedikas Chametz is the first din, Arla Arba'asar, and then we're going to move in later prakim into the morning of the 14th, the afternoon of the 14th, and finally into the night of the 15th. And there's perhaps more as well. And that more... Where the topic of Bedikas Chametz takes us, so that lies in noticing the unasked question. Can you guys hear me? Is this mask clear? Yamin? You're far away. Far? Real? Okay. That's as you saw this morning in Seder, as we touched on yesterday, and when we were getting warmed up, the Mishnah addresses itself, mentions the Chiyuv Bedikas Chametz, and addresses itself to the three practical questions of when and how and where. Arla Arba'asar is the time. The method is La'ar Haner. The location where it's relevant, the cases, if you will, where it's relevant, Amakka Shachnisim Bachametz. The Mishnah neglects to ask why. Mishnahs generally don't ask why. That's usually that Tanam usually left the reasons for Dinim unsaid, with rare exceptions. It's usually the Gemara will pick that up. And here Rashi points us right away, Shalo Yavar Botkin, Shalo Yavar Allah by Rabbi Matzei. We're worried. If you don't do Bedikas Chametz, you may end up violating Bal Yirah Bal Matzei. You saw those psukim. You're going to hear about this all the time throughout the Masechta, particularly throughout the beginning of the Masechta, Bal Yirah Bal Matzei. Sometimes you even see a Beis Yud, Rosh HaTevis, or Beis Yud, Vav Beis Yud. Bal Yirah, Bal Yimatzeh, as you saw, it's a pasuk in Perek Yud Beis and a pasuk in Perek Yud Gimel, both in Chumash Shemos and Parshas Bo. Lo Yirah Elecha Chametz and Lo Yimatzeh. Just as an aside, a one-letter he'ara for you to be aware of, that if you were looking in the Chumash for the word Bal Yirah, you didn't find it. And that's because the Chazal in Rabbinic Hebrew will often take a low Lamed Aleph, or an Al in the language of Chumash, and turn it into a Baal, like Baal Tashchis. The Torah never says Baal Tashchis, it says Lo Tashchis Eseitza, or Baal Takif, or Baal Takifu, not the cut of Peis. The Torah says Lo Takifu. Right? But that's one of the main shifts from the Hebrew of Tanakh to the Hebrew of Chazal, biblically with the Mishnah, is this word Baal. So just in case you're wondering, what does that mean? Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh, that's what it means. It means Lo Yirah and Lo Yimatzeh, and that's the way Chazal typically phrase it. So that's what Rashi says. You have the two psukim. As we move on, we may deeper in the parak, we may come to see what's the difference between the Gemara later is going to want to know why there are two different psukim in parak Beis and in parak Gimel. What's the difference between the chametz being seen and the chametz being found? What's the difference between lo yeira and lo yimatze? So we'll get to those details b'li neder as we move through the parak. For now, as Rashi is presenting it as sort of like a single unit, b'ira b'limatze. That's often the way we say it. It sounds like a one word. B'ira b'limatze. It's a single phrase, and it means taken together. It means what? Not to, right? Not to own chametz. The issue against having chametz in your possession. Again, we were just getting started. We're going to do a lot more to work. It wasn't being in your possession. Ownership, possession, the same thing. Not the same thing. Shalom, b'shuso. Okay, common attractions. Baruch Hashem, we have an entire Zman ahead of us. We're just getting started. But for now, Rashi is presenting a first approximation, a first draft. There's an issue against owning chametz, having chametz, owning chametz. B'ayra b'ayimatze. We'll take it for now as a single entity. B'ayra b'ayimatze. So Rashi says, you don't want to be in violation, chalila, of a lav deraisa. But you saw the Rambam, it's even more than one lav deraisa. The law, the isur isurid of owning chametz and having chametz, chalila the chas. So, don't kines al chametz, so are anir. Okay, bedikas chametz. Bedikas, and as we mentioned yesterday, is this deraisa, is this drabana? I mean, okay, the Torah says not own chametz, so that makes sense, so you better get rid of it. Except as we saw, it's really only required me drabanan because, right? Where was that Gemara or Daf? We'll get back to Vav. Good Dalam and Beis, very good Dalam Beis. The Gemara said the whole need for bedikas chametz is only drabanan. Why? Because midaraisa, the key line on Daf Dalam and Beis. Kaven de bedikas chametz midrabanu. Since bedikas chametz right before the two dots on Daf Dalam Beis, since bedikas the required bedikas chametz only drabanan, how's it drabanan? Drabanan, yes, because mida oraisa bebitul ba'al masagi. Because min haTorah, bitul alone is sufficient. Mida oraisa bebitul ba'al masagi. So since bitul alone is sufficient, so the need for bedika, at least if you've already done bitul, or if you're planning to do bittul anyways, the need to also do bedika, that's all in required midrabanan. It is required, as our Mishnah says, bonkens chametz araner, it's required, but only midrabanan, once you've done bittul anyhow, midrabanan, they still require bedika. And the Gemara there, it's a side point. I mean, it's a part of the, it's not the ultimate point. The Gemara's point there is, that's why we can take certain liberties in terms of the standards of ne'emanus for bedikas chametz. I'm allowed to believe certain people, certain types of statements that don't worry, B'dikas Hamas is already done. I can assume that B'dikas Hamas was done in a way that I couldn't if it was if the need for B'dikas was Daraisa, I would have a higher standard of evidence. That's the Gemara saying. But because B'dikas is only Midrabanan, so then Hemnu Rabbanan Midrabanan. So Chazal were able to rewrite for this Rabbanan, they can set the standards because the whole need is only Midrabanan. That's what we call Haim Amru. Haim Amru. I'm sorry, I don't have a whiteboard yet. It's coming. I would have put that up on the whiteboard. Haim Amru. Haim Amru. A very important phrase. Literally, they said and they said. What that means is that when you have a Din Drabanan, so Chazal are creating the Din Drabanan, Yesh Me'ayin. So they have the right to build in whatever kulos they see appropriate. Min HaTorah, it's not required at all. Chazal create new requirements. They can say, we're requiring it, but. They say, we're requiring it, but we're willing to accept, you know, nemanis that wouldn't otherwise work in a dry set context. So that's the Gemara doesn't use that phrase, but it's clearly an example of that concept. Heim amru veheim amru. Or as the Gemara puts it, and Daf Dalam Beis, hemnuhu rabbanan vidrabbanan. Chazal believed him, being that it's only a drabbanan issue to begin with. Okay, so again, the Gemara on Daf Dalam is trying to make a different point, but in making its point about nemanis on Nikas Hamid, the Gemara tells us this critical concept that B'dikas Chametz is only required in Drabanan. And why? Because in the Torah, you do Bittul, you're safe. You do Bittul, you're safe. Yeah. But that, so now we take that Gemara to the bank. We take the Gemara Daf Dalam Beis, plug it back into the Mishnah Daf Beis Manav. We say, oh, okay. So the Gemara tells you, you learn the first three blot, you discover that, or as you skip, three blood. Either way, Mitzvah, we will learn the three blood also, plus, Mitzvah. But for now, so you look there, you see, ooh, this is on Drabanan. Sure. So again, plugging it back in just step by step. That means what Rashi is really doing here is explaining what's the rationale for the Drabanan. I think I mentioned yesterday, Shechter's Nusach, when you learn Din D'Oraisa, the first fundamental question is what's the Pasuk? Where does it come from? When you learn Din D'Rabanan, so there are 1,001 questions, but the first fundamental question is Mipnei Ma'atiknu. What's the source for D'Oraisa? The source is the Pasuk in Chumash or Drasha. For D'Rabanan, the source is the concern. What was the motivation? What was the objective? What problem were Chazal trying to solve by enacting, by creating this Drabanan? So now I know. I know from Dav Dalet it's the Din Drabanan. So now I understand what Rashi is doing here. Shal Yavral Bar Rabbi Matzi is explaining, oh, this is a Gzera Takana to protect Bar Rabbi Matzi. But then, of course, that raises a question. You have a question? So that raises a question, which we're gonna jump right into Tosis. The Ran, I should just tell you, we're not going to look at the Ran right now, but if you look at the Ran on Aleph Amud Aleph, the Dapi Harif, if you're looking at me funny, what I mean, Daf Aleph, it's because although Gemara, as you've known for many years, always is printed starting Daf Beis, it's not a halacha Moshe Messina, but that's a convention, how you print Gemara is starting from Daf Beis. You turn to the back, you probably know already, that when they print the Rif, they do not use that convention. You turn to the back, you see the Rif starts with Daf Aleph. That's the way it's always done. So if you ever see a Daf Aleph, you think that's really funny. Aleph on Beis. Yeah, that's really fine. No, Daf Aleph on Beis, but Daf Harif, that makes a lot of sense. Gee, there's a law, and the Ran has a lot to say on Daf Aleph on Beis about the whole sugya of, he tells you, I'm about to write a long essay. I need to spell everything out. So he points out that at the very beginning, Dear Master Lebodkin, he sort of breaks Tosis' question down to 2 separate segments. But let's see the way Tosis puts it. Ron unpacks it more. So Tosis is very unhappy. Pirush HaKuntres. You see the Arla Basar Bogdan Chametz are in there. Arla Basar Bogdan Chametz. Hey, Pirush HaKuntres. Rashi explains. Shul Yavar Alav. By Rabbi Matze. Right? I want to avoid violation of Rabbi Matze, which again, you know and I know now, that means Midrabanan Chazal forced you to do Bedika, even if Reid Bittel, because of apparently concerned by Rabbi Matze. Well, Tosis, eh? Kashalari, Kavan did Tsarach Bittel, Kedama Bigamara, Bodav Tsar Shivatel. Says, 1 second, but I need to do Bittel also. How do I need to do Bittel also? Because of the Gemara Davav. Gemara Davav in the days. Habodik, Tzarech Shivata, right? That Gemara we saw a little bit yesterday. You saw it with your Chavrusa more robustly this morning. And the Gemara there in Davav says, even though you did Bedika, you got to also do Bittel. And the Gemara, you remember, had said what? Why can't you do Bittel? You already did Bedika, Gishmak. You did Bedika. So the Chametz is gone. What are you doing Bedika? What are you doing Bittel for? What did the Gemara answer? First, the Gemara said, oh, maybe doing Bittel to address the crumbs, right? Kiruvin, maybe the little crumb. I did Bedika, but there's always going to be little crumbs left. No one's going to do absolutely perfect. I'm not going to get every last crumb. The Gemara says, you're not going to get every last crumb, and I don't care. Right? That was the Gemara in Davav in the days. The Perun lo chashivi. You're not mechuyif to get rid of all the little teeny tiny crumbs. No one cares about that. Halo chashivi. The Gemara gets involved. I suggest you to skip. Gemara has a Zra'im sidebar there. Our Perim Chashivim, not Chashivim. Then Rabbi says, no, it's not about the crumbs. The crumbs are irrelevant. So then we have to do Bittel. I did Bedika. I found all the big pieces of Chametz. I destroyed the big pieces of Chametz. All that remains are little crumbs. Those don't matter. Then what are you doing Bittel for? The Gemara answered, Amar Rava. Well, the concern is maybe I'll find a geshmak, a piece of chametz, a gluska yafa, a nice roll, a nice donut. I'll know that, and I'll be interested in that. My das, that's Aramaic, daite lave is Aramaic for daito alav. My das, I'll be very taken by that. So what does that mean? In other words, maybe I tried. Good. So, and therefore what? So Rashi says, on Davav Amid, Daito Ale, he actually translates to Hebrew, the Daito Aleha, Chashuvahi Beinav, that's significant to you. The Chas Aleha Lasarfa. You have Rachmanis at Chus Rachem Aleinu. You're Chas. You're gonna have Rachmanis on the donut. And you take Pech. Destroy such a delicious donut. Umashe Afilu Rega Echad. You might hesitate even for a moment. When I've been worried that the guy's mamish guy is like, oh, such a gishmaka donut, this knock, I'm gonna keep hold on to that after Pesach. No. But he might hesitate. Pesach already. If you hesitate Erev Pesach morning and you burn it at 10 o'clock instead of 9 o'clock, that's fine. But because that's before the Zman Issa. But you're gonna find that on Pesach, every added moment of keeping the chametz around willingly is a violation of your ownership of chametz. If it takes me a few minutes to get the fire going, that's fine. But if I'm in process of destroying it, it sounds like that's fine. More on that to come, believe me. But here we're saying, you might, you know, have a mechemes hayetzer, it may take me a minute to convince myself that even though it looks so good, so juicy, it smells so good. I mean, how could it have been? It's been sitting out for a week, whatever. But, okay, he's chametz starved, this fellow. So, for a moment, he's going to be like, maybe I shouldn't. That moment of waiting without intent to destroy, nimtza overle by Rav Yamatzeh. Rashi says, very fascinating Rashi. That last line, there's a lot of very juicy nugget, a juicy morsel. The end of that Rashi. Rashi says, once you're mevatelit, Rashi is bothered by Oriel's question. Let's say it's true. Okay, I understand the problem. The problem is the bedika is not a perfect system. I'm going to try my hardest to find chametz, but human error is always possible. Sometimes you succeed in finding every single significant piece of chametz, all that's left of the crumbs. Okay, sometimes not. Sometimes I may have put in my best effort, but I missed something. Okay, I forgot to look. I noticed that the lining of the couch had come down. In fact, you know, if I've looked more carefully, I would have seen a container of Honey Nut scooters in the back of the couch, whatever. Some appealing chametz. So I understand the problem, but as Oriel's pointing out, I understand the problem, what's the solution? If the problem is maybe that the bidding of chametz isn't perfect, there might be chametz remaining there, okay, and then what? So then I do a bittel, what's the bittel help? There's chametz there. So Rashi says, b'shebitla eino over, now I understand the problem, here's the solution. Once you do bittel, then talk your non-violation, even though you found the chametz, even though the chametz is there, and you didn't destroy it immediately, the low cost of el tashbisa. What was Rashi's answer? Because the Torah only wrote tashbisa. So again, for now, the symbols reading of Rashi is as follows. The Torah only wrote tashbisa, as opposed to the Torah could have written tivaru. The Torah could have said, destroy the chametz. Tevaru sarim batechem. The Torah didn't say tevaru. The Torah used this. A lot of fellows were talking to me and saying, well, what does that word even mean? Lahashbis, tashbisa, what does that mean? And it's poetic terminology to cause the chametz to rest. Tashbisu, lahashbis is to cause the chametz to be shoves. Usually we think of human beings are shoves. Kadosh Baruch Hu is shoves. Human beings are shoves. The chametz is shoves. I mean, I make sure the chametz doesn't do malacha. Make sure the chametz doesn't drive a car and doesn't strike a match. Well, what does that mean? It's an indirect way of saying cause the chametz to rest means put the chametz to sleep. Just destroy the chametz. Eliminate the chametz. So why didn't the Torah just say straight? Tevaru, which is what Torah usually says when you talk about bir avodah zarah and shreifas. No, so usually the Torah is very direct. Tisrafu, tevaru. What's with the tashbisu? It's a murky, ambiguous term. So Rashi is saying, oh, you know why the Torah uses that vaguer, more general term? Because you don't have to actually physically destroy it. The Torah just said tashbisu. Apparently, again, we'll see this unfold more over the next couple of days, maybe in the next couple of weeks. Tashbisu could include physical destruction, and the Ran sort of spells that more. But tashbisu could also include bittul. Bittabalev, I mentally checked out this chametz. That's enough. That's it. What? Correct. Okay, so we haven't addressed the eating. Remember, Rashi didn't say, and Ora is making a very important point to bring this back to Tosis very soon. Rashi did not say, he could have, Rashi did not say in Davav that, oh, you might find the geshmak of donut and eat it. He didn't say that. Rashi said, and Rashi didn't even say, you might leave it for the rest of Pesach and eat it after Pesach. Right? What he said is something very slight. You might find it. You're not going to eat it. You're going to destroy it today. You're just going to hesitate for a few moments. You mashay rega achad. We're not worried about, man, the guy's going to eat chametz on Pesach. That's a chashash rachel. Pesach. It was possible, but that's not the concern. Rashi said the concern is you might hesitate a little bit. It's a slight barah bali matzah. So for that, Bittel solves the problem. If you're actually why the guy's going to eat it, you're right. If you're actually the guy would eat it, then what's held to mevatel it, he's going to eat it. Right? That's what Rashi said, no. And the reason why we add Bittel is to address the scenario where he's on board with his Sir Chametz, and he's going to destroy it, but if he hesitates on Pesach, every moment is an aveira. So that's that Gemara. And that's that Rashi. And again, as we pointed out, a lot going on in that Rashi. Again, you could have just sort of read Rashi, whatever, he's just same shot. There's a lot going on there. Right? Like Oriel's pointing out, he's highlighting that the scenario that we're worried about is daito ilave, not that you want to eat it, just that you'll hold on to it for a little bit. And Rashi's also at the end, the seifa of Rashi is giving us a whole drasha, right? A whole Tashbisu versus Tevaru, and that's why, again, there's much more to see about that, which coming attractions. But that's why Bittel is a solution. By Rabbi Matze, okay, do Bidika, do Bittel. The problem is, one second, as Tosis points out, well, Abodev Sar Shevatil, the Gemara we just saw, every Bodek does Bittel also. So it's not as though Chazal are saying, just do Bidika. No. Even if you're doing Bidika, you got to do Bittel. And Midoraisa Bittel V'yamasagis. Everyone's doing Bittel anyways. And in HaTorah, Bittel alone suffices. That's the Gemara Davdalad. If you add Davav to Davdalad, and Davdalad, what emerges, everyone's doing Bittel. In HaTorah, Bittel is sufficient. So as the Ran, I mentioned before, the Ran sort of unpacks Tosis's Kasha a little more, sort of unpacks it into several separate stages. So the first stage he says, okay, the Ran says, look, I could do either one. I need to solve a problem by Rabbi Matze. There are two ways to do it. That's what the Ran writes in Dimas Lebodkin. Okay, so either Minat Torah, I could do either Bedika or Bittel. Either one suffices. Right? The Gemara in Davdalid said that Bittel alone is sufficient. The Bittel Ba'amasagi. The Gemara Davav is saying, Midrabani, if you did Bidika, I'd do Bittel too, but meaning Min HaTorah, Bidika alone is sufficient. Okay, I understand that. It's sort of the first stage here in the logic. There's a Chi of Tashbisu, the Mitzvah of Tashbisu, there's an Isra Bayer Rabbe Mate, and I can address that in one of two ways. Physical search and destroy, Bidika, meaning Bidika followed by Beer, or mental. Mental, verbal, Bittel. Two ways to address the problem. Okay. So, okay, maybe the Minotaur, there are two ways to do it. I understand. So, on a certain level, Iran says, now we understand Rashi. Rashi said, and the reason why you have Bidika is Shol Yavra by Rabbi Matze. That's true. It is a way, it's one way of avoiding by Rabbi Matze. But then, the Iran sort of a 20 lines later, sort of circles back and gives you sort of the other layer of Tosis' kasha. Okay, what Rashi said is true. Shel Yavra Bar Rabbi Matze. It's true that Bidika does solve Bar Rabbi Matze. And Min HaTorah, it's enough. Even though maybe I left something behind me, Rabbi, I got to do Bittel. Min HaTorah, Bidika suffices. Okay, but the problem is still So it's true that it does work, but on the level of Daraisa. But now let's ask the kasha on the level of Drabanan. Chazal didn't just say Bedika is one of your options for how to fulfill the Dinim Daraisa, satisfy the mitzvah Daraisa of Tashbisu and the Lav Daraisa of Ayamalamat. Chazal said, you must do Bedika. They also said, you must do Bittel. So in Davav, the Gemara says, Midrabanan, even if you did Bedika, you do Bittel too. And the Gemara explains why. Because Bittel accomplishes something that Bedika doesn't. Bedika, you only get whatever you find. And Bittel is, as I said to somebody this morning, algebraic. You say, Kol Chamir V'Chamir. So automatically, I've covered everything. There's no way that the Bittel automatically covers all my Chamis. So I understand what's added. You did Bedika, but you got to do Bittel too. The question is, how about the other way around? You're doing Bittel, why do Bedika? What does Bedika do that Bittel doesn't do? Bittel is... Bittel, number one, I said yesterday, it's easier. So much easier. Just do Bittel. Why do I have to go through all the tircha of Bedika, clean the house for chametz, and then hours, several hours of Bedika's chametz and beer the next morning? Just do Bittel. And I'm doing Bittel anyways. So what am I even accomplishing doing Bedika's chametz? And not only is it Bittel so much easier, it's also more effective. Bittel covers everything. The glutskiyaf I didn't find, the Bittel still covers. So I understand that Bittel does what Bedika doesn't do. The question is, what does Bedika do that Bittel doesn't do? Why did Chazal mandate Bedika? You're doing Bittel anyways. Kasha Lari. Kevin the Tzarech Bittel. You're going to do Bittel anyways. It's not like you're only doing Bedika. The Jabban Emma has to do Bittel. And Midaraisa Bittel Amasagi. Going Dav Dalid. Once you do Bittel, you don't need Bedika in that Torah. But apparently, Midraban, you do. Why? Why they mandate Bedika? You want to do Bedika because you're going to hate. But why the Chazal say that Midraban, you must do Bedika even though you're ready to do Bittel anyways? So again, as I said, it's just a few lines in Tosis, but if you begin to unpack it, when the Ran unpacks it explicitly, several layers. I mean, I told there are two alternatives, but Chazal required both. And Davav, they said, even if you did Bedika, you got to do Bittel too. And the Mishnah Daf Beis said, if you do Bittel, you got to do Bedika too. So the first in Drabanan, Gemara Davav, explained why Bittel is necessary midrabanan, even though you read the Bedika. But what remains to be explained is, why is Bedika necessary than Bittel? So Rashi said, well, by Rabbi Matzeh. The Tosha says, what do you mean by Rabbi Matzeh? Bittel also addresses by Rabbi Matzeh. When does the period end? Or when does, you know? 12, 14. Okay. Maybe we'll even stop a few minutes short of that. Okay, so let's... Oh, okay. So what Tosa is going to do over the next 10 lines or so is the following. They're going to give their own answer to the... They had a kasha and Rashi. The Tosa is going to, rather than solving for Rashi, they're not going to solve for Rashi. We never will get to that. Is there a way to be Miyasha Tosa kasha and Rashi? But Tosa seems to think that their kasha and Rashi is so watertight, tufta on Rashi. We need instead, we're not going to resuscitate Rashi, instead we're going to offer an alternative. The Re, Balatos is going to say, I have a different shot in the reason for Bedikas Chametz, which he's going to present. And then, he's going to, in an act of great intellectual honesty, ask a kasha on himself. The Re himself will point out the weakness, he already pointed out the weakness in Rashi, he's going to give his shot, point out the weakness in his shot, and give two answers on behalf of his shot. A lot in all of that, and the answer, the kasha, a lot of richness. So let's scratch the surface now. Let's at least see a little bit of what the answer is. Sure. So once more, good. Thank you for asking. Once more, Rashi had said, "What's the purpose of Bedikas Chametz?" By Rabbi Matzah. Right? That was Rashi. The Tosa said, a very short Rashi. Tosa said, "It's true." Again, this is sort of an unpacked version of Tosa's. Otosis Kasha. It's true that Bedikas Chametz does solve the problem of Rabbi Matzeh min HaTorah, but it's not the only way to do it min HaTorah. Bittel also solves the problem of Rabbi Matzeh. Right? And it's not even a question, okay, so you get to choose either one. Chazal mandate you must do Bittel. So So once you're doing bittul, what's the point of also mandating bedikah? You're doing bittul anyways. And as a matter of fact, bittul is now easier, but more extensive, has better coverage than bedikah. Bedikah only addresses the chametz you find. Bittul addresses everything. So once you're doing bittul, why did Chazal say that hamavatul tzarich sheyivdok? Essentially, the Gaon Davav says habodok tzarich sheyivatul. Huh? After bittul, I could buy chametz on Pesach, and that's not there. It's true, but.
Yeah, but like,
that is an interesting question. However, at least for now, it's a. But the Gemara on Davav seemed to say that Bittel addresses the question of finding chametz. But how do you understand the Gemara Davav? You're on to something, and when we come back, I first want to address Tosus. We'll come back in a couple of days to come back to Miyashiv Rashi, and you're right, Oriel, that part of the Yishuv of Rashi will lie in trying to figure out more about Bittel. We're gonna Blin Arabi taking all along that tack. For now, let's see the beginning of Tosus's approach. Venir Lari. The Re said, Afagav the Saga Bittel Bialma. Although it's true that bittul bi'alma is enough, that's obviously a direct quote from Dav Dalad, midaraisa b'bittul bi'alma sagi. So even though sagi bittul bi'alma, min ha-Torah, hechemir ha-cham levdok chametz levar, Chazal still imposed a further mandate, ha-mevatel tzor she-yivdok, the Mishnah Dav Beis and the Gemara and Dav Dalad, why? Shelo yavo la-achla. He says it's not because of bayrab al-yimatzeh. By Rab, again, just to be clear, it may be true that Bedika does address by Rab Amatzeh. It might be sufficient, but it's not necessary, because I'm doing Bittul anyway. Bittul covers me on by Rab Amatzeh. What the Bittul doesn't do, that Bedika does, what I said before, I understand what Bittul does that beyond Bedika. What does Bedika do beyond Bittul? What's the special strength of Bedika? The answer is, it's true that when I do Bittul, so al pi halacha, it's not man, however it works, it's mentally checked out, there's no problem by Rabbi Matze. But if it's physically there, maybe that's, this is what you were saying. If it's physically there, if I have a house full of chametz, I did bittul. So shkoyach, a non-violation of owning chametz, but if I have a house full of chametz, what am I going to end up doing?
What's the cost between Gluski Yafa and this time? How wise by Gluski Yafa if you're not worried about eating?
Let's first say and then respond. What Tosa says is, I'm worried that I may eat it. If I have a house full of chametz, as we saw before, one of the major isurim is the isur of ownership. The other major isur is the isur of eating and having hanaf from the chametz. And that's something that Bittul doesn't really address. If the chametz is there physically, al pidin I'm checked out, but my sake is still eat. Chametz mevutal, I might not violate by Rabbi Matzeh, but it's still very edible. Physically, it's there. Both. It's Bedika and Beer. It's a search and destroy. Doing that tomorrow, we'll pick up. I see we're running out of time. We're going to pick up tomorrow with number one. Tosis, even before they get their kasha, they have arrived from the Gaon Dav Yud to demonstrate that the poor purpose of Bedika is Achila. And we need to address your question. You were asking, well, what do you do with Dav? On Dav Vav, Shemi Emsa Glus Kayafa. That's what I was highlighting before. You already pointed out, beginning to point out before. The purpose of Bittul is to address a scenario where I find it and I wouldn't eat it. Whereas what I might be showing.
Why wouldn't you eat it? Nice then.
So that's why I might. And there's no the solution for that other than do a better job of checking. Bittul contributes in a case where if I find it, I'm going to get rid of it and I might hesitate. But in order to address the question, the scenario of actually eating it, I need to get rid of as much as possible. Furthermore, once I did Bedika, the chance of actually finding something is minimal. Right? If I didn't do Bedika at all, I'd have a house full of chametz. It would be very high likelihood to find chametz, and then there's more of a chance of not only being shohei, but actually eating, and that's being addressed by the Bedika. There's much more to say about this, and we will get to Yom Tov tomorrow.